So the king that we looked at, King Asa, was a pretty good king. Now, he didn't end so well. Remember, he ended with a heart of pride. He was diseased and refused to seek the Lord in his old age and in his disease. And so, therefore, he went to his death seeking the physicians and not seeking the Lord. And the text makes that clear. I want to remind you as well that 1 and 2 Chronicles, its intended audience, from the best we can tell, is those who've returned from exile. And so they have spent time in captivity. The captivity in and of itself was judgment by God because of their rebellion against him. And so now a party has joined together, returned back to the promised land, to Jerusalem. The temple has been rebuilt and the walls are in process. So you can just imagine the various difficulties that these people are facing, the fears, the temptations to go astray in their doctrines and in their beliefs. And so we can understand why 1 and 2 Chronicles focuses so heavily on King David, on the covenants, and on the work of the Lord amongst the kings and amongst God's people. You see, these people who've returned, they needed to be reminded of the might and the power of God as they seek to reestablish themselves in the land. We have come to King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat is also a good king. You look at chapter 17 and verse 1, and Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel, and he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Baalim, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord, or some translations might say encouraged in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. So this is encouraging, isn't it? This is encouraging as we consider Jehoshaphat. He seems to be following in the ways of the early days of his father Asa, in the ways of David. Jehoshaphat means Jehovah has judged. And these names, the definitions often are so powerful in their meaning in relation to what takes place in the lives of these various different people. We know, of course, that Asa experienced God's judgment upon his life. We also are going to see throughout these next couple chapters how Jehovah is going to judge Israel, the northern kingdom, and especially King Ahab. Now, when I bring up King Ahab, bells should be going off, whistles, because he is known for what? His evil, his queen Jezebel, wicked queen. Of course, they reigned and ruled over the northern kingdom of Israel. So just to put you in the setting here, we're dealing with King Ahab in the north, King Jehoshaphat in the south. Elijah, remember Elijah, he's the big prophet who's ministering in the north, and he's the one that confronts Ahab. Ahab's the one that went to Mount Carmel with all of his prophets of Baal, and they had that big showdown, remember that? All right, and so God showed himself mighty there. So this is who we're dealing with. Now, of course, 1 and 2 Chronicles is not focused in on the northern kingdom. So we're looking at all of this from the perspective of the southern kingdom. And specifically, this is the line of David. And that's a key. That's a key part of all of this, because God's people, and what God is doing with God's people, is he keeps reminding them of his promises and of his covenant, and that there is a coming deliverer in the line of David. And so these chronicles are reminding the people who've returned from exile that God has had his hand all along in preserving the line of David. Now, they weren't perfect all along, but God has had his hand in preserving them. So, we see that the Lord is certainly with Jehoshaphat. The Lord is establishing the kingdom into his hand. We see that his heart is encouraged in the ways of the Lord. And so we are excited to see what's going to take place. So we're looking forward to this. Is a great start. You're setting out correctly, King Jehoshaphat. We see in verses 7 through 10 that Jehoshaphat valued righteous education. Look at this. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture. Verse 7 of chapter 17. And also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nethanel, and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah, and Nethaniah, and Zebadiah, and Asahel, and Shemaramoth, and Jehonathan, and Adonijah, and Tobajah, and Toba-Anadajah, Levites. And with them, Elishama and Jehoram, priests. Yeah, I always they're fun. If nothing else, it's fun to give it a good try. All right. So there's a lot of names there. There's people. Names represent people. Who are these people? These are teachers. These are Levites. Some of them are priests, and they are to teach throughout the land. What are they teaching? Verse 9, and they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Isn't that interesting? King Jehoshaphat sees the value of righteous education, of a good teaching, of teaching the law of the Lord to his people. Now we consider the value of that, right? I mean, we've got thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Just to give you perspective, later in the chapter, there is a recording of the size of his army. And just so you know, the size of his army is over 1,160,000 by my count. All right, so that's the fighting men of valor. So then how many other people are in the land? Women, children, older folks. All right, so there's a lot of people in this kingdom. And what we see is King Jehoshaphat recognizes the value of the law of the Lord and that it's communicated into the hearts and lives of his people. Wow. I mean, just consider that in our own lives. Just consider that in your home, right? Let's think about parents. Let's think about it being a parent. And the importance of proactively, or shall we say intentionally, teaching those within our sphere of influence, right? The law of the Lord. Why would you do that? Because you understand that it is valuable and good and right. It's the best thing for your people. It's establishing unity throughout his kingdom, throughout the land, as the people are going to have the common perspective. Notice, there are many teachers, but one source, law of the Lord. Think about the contrast that we are seeing between the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom, Remember, the northern kingdom has kicked out all the priests and the Levites. They've established their own systems of worship, one of them being Baal. And so you have this emptiness, this place that's void of the righteousness of God and the law of God, apart from the prophets that are there. And we know that there was a remnant. God tells the prophets, there's some that are yet remain. But nevertheless, we can see that the value of a righteous education, of a righteous teaching, and the source is the law of the Lord. Just to build the case for us, I go to Psalms 19, and it's just good for us to rehearse. I know you've heard this before, but I want to rehearse for you the value of God's law. So Psalm 19, listen to it. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Another good read would be Psalm 119. As you consider what the value of the Lord truly is. These psalms, most of them, likely haven't been written by this time. And perhaps even the book of Psalms had been compiled. The people in the exile, hearing what Jehoshaphat does in his kingdom would prove to be an incredible model of what is priority for us as a people. Communicating the law of the Lord throughout the land, that it is the standard. So, a small passage that communicates a lot of difficult names, but we know them to be Levites and priests with a specific task to teach. And they are to teach throughout the land the law of the Lord. Think of the impact that can have on our lives. How valuable it is to understand the importance of teaching God's law. Teachers, as you minister in the lives of people, no matter what their age, you are unified on the source, the Word of God. You are unified on the priority. It builds a unity, and it is good and right. Just look at what we've just read in Psalm 19, for reason and purpose for what you do. And we can be confident that verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 17, the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. It's going to be noticed. The result It will be seen, both inside of us as individuals who are taught, but also from those looking on. Those who are taught in the law of the Lord live differently. They've got a different way of approaching life, don't they? Don't we? And when we come together and the expectation is that we are taught in the Word of God, and the day that that ceases to happen is the day that we cease to be a true church. The surrounding kingdoms were full of the fear of the Lord. We note that the Philistines, the Arabians, verse 11, they pay tribute to Jehoshaphat. Verse 12, Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly. He built in Judah castles and cities of store, and he had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. And verses 14 through 19 tell us his army. And he is surrounded by over 1.1 million fighting men of war. Men of valor. He's established. His kingdom is strong. He's established in the Lord. His focus is right. His priorities are right. And the thing that we are going to see, we're not going to get there tonight, so we're just going to be a cliffhanger, but what we're going to observe, it is even as people, when we are established and we are starting out right and we've got the right priorities and things are looking so good, we must not forget that there still is a battle that rages. There are still that temptations to compromise that will come. And yes, we're going to watch what takes place in Jehoshaphat's life. We're going to watch the ups. We're going to watch the downs. And by God's grace, we learn from this. That's why we're going through this study. To learn and glean from these scriptures. So that you and I may walk today gleaning from the ups and from the downs. Learning. They're an example. They are for our admonition. And so tonight, this little sermonette. Do we value righteous education? Do we value teaching the law of the Lord to our people? It is important. It is good. It's right. And so let's do that. Let's do that well. It can be tiring. It can be exhausting. But it is important. And may Psalm 19 and what we read there be an inspiration, be an encouragement. May it be a refreshment and breath of fresh air to those of you as teachers. Who I know sometimes it can become truly laborious. Truly difficult, day in and day out. And so perhaps even tonight, maybe tonight's message is for you to be encouraged. To be reminded of, hey, what I do is important. Maybe perhaps tonight you want to get into teaching. You want to be a part of this. Maybe you want to be like these Levites and priests and have an impact in the lives of people. I encourage you, pursue it. Talk to me so we can get you on that road. So that you can be a part here in this fellowship, or perhaps you have other sites, other people, other areas that you desire to minister. So God, thank you for the time that we've shared together tonight. And Lord, this was not on the notes for this evening, but yet I do rejoice that you've directed us in this way. We thank you, Lord, for how you've ministered tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.